Cuba commitment. Take your Bible, please. Turn to 2 Samuel. I've got a couple of places to look, but 2 Samuel chapter 19. I believe we'll read that for the text. 2 Samuel chapter 19. When you get there, David is on the run. His best friends have forsaken him. His own son has become a rebel and lured the country away from his father. The great psalm singer, the great warrior of Israel, the great captain of the hosts. The nation had never been where it's at that day. But with all of it going on, one rebel stole the hearts of the people. They're still a rebel. Jesus said, "The thief has come but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy." He's still in business today. Would you stand? We'll read the Word of God together. I believe I'll read 17 and let me back up one page to 17, two pages in my Bible. Verse 27 of chapter 17. "And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim," that's the wilderness, "that Shobai, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, and of the children of Ammon, and Makar, the son of Amiel of Lodebar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, 'The people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness.'" Now over to 19. "And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan." The battle's over now. Absalom has been hung. And the nation of Israel is calling David back to the throne. "Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years. Oh, that hurts me to read that. And he had provided the king of subsistence while he lay at Mahanaim. For he was a very great man. And the king said to Barzillai, 'Come thou over with me, and I'll feed thee with me in Jerusalem.' And Barzillai said to the king, 'How long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men or singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden to my lord the king? Thy servants will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should thy king recompense it to me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee.' And the king answered, 'Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. And he returned to his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. And all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Let's bow for prayer. I'm going to ask Brother C.R. if he'd lead us this morning in prayer.
Father, we come to you today, Lord. We just hear your message today as my brother speaks. We pray for him in a special way. We just pray you know him behind that old cross. Give him the right words to say. If anyone's here don't know you, Lord, but they'll come forward today and accept you. Now we pray for the brothers as he makes his speech today. We pray for Brother Wayne in a special way. We love him. I know you love him. Thank you for the what he done this week, preaching his sermons one after another. We pray for him as he guides us through this today. We love you. These things we ask and pray in your precious name. Amen.
You can be seated. As I said, the rebellion is on. If you want to look at the verse, chapter 15, verse 30 describes it. Absalom is now coming into Jerusalem. David's good friend and counselor, Ahithophel, has turned against it. And verse 30 says, and David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, verse 30 of chapter 15, and wept as he went up, and his head was covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. That was the condition in Israel. As you know, David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in many ways. And as the king of Israel, I don't have time to run the rabbits, but we could go over into the New Testament and talk about Jesus as he takes the throne of David, his father. And so David's on the run. And I noticed three conditions of David here. One, he's in great sorrow. He's weeping. And Isaiah said that our Savior is a man of sorrows and filled with grief. And then he has his head covered. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says it's a shame for a man to have his head covered. Two verses over there say that. And I'm just looking at Alan and Brother Penny, Brother C.R., they're not much shame over there. They're uncovered. Amen. So he's in great grief. The Bible says he's ashamed. He's got his head covered. And the people have their head covered. And then the Bible says that he was barefooted. I don't have time to preach this, and I know some have already surveyed this when I did preach it. But a barefooted man in the Bible is always a failure. Those Jews in Israel were a failure when they were barefooted. The first thing God told them when they went out of the land was, put your shoes on. And the shoes lasted 40 years. over there in the Ephesians chapter 6, he said, if you're going to fight the fight and put on your armor, the first thing that you put on is your shoes. And so a barefooted man is a failure. So here's the king, the great king of Israel, who's ashamed and in grief and a failure. But I would just like to say this, no matter what the picture is, no matter how dark it looks on the horizon, no matter how many storm clouds roll up, our God is still God.
Yes.
And Daniel's cry is, there's a God in heaven that rules in the affairs of men. Even in this day, even in this dark hour, God is still God.
Amen, sir.
And God looks for people and honors people who will serve him in the dark days as well as the great days. I mean, you know, when the revival's on, the crowds are there. And when there's great singing and a great move of God, it's no problem to follow God.
Yeah.
It's when that battle starts, when the shame is on the scene, when that grief hits us. Sometimes it's hard, but God will honor someone, and he looks for someone who will serve him in that day, and that is Barzillai. I wanted to talk a little about his excellence. His eye was on David. If you look at that 31st verse of our text in chapter 19, Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. He was there for one reason, as you see as we read that text. He's just there for the king. He's not there for the tribes. He's not there for the glory. He's not there for what he'll get out of it. He's there for the king. He has an excellent life because he's got his eyes on David.
Amen.
He knew how to live. And I wanted to ask you, have you got your eyes on the king this morning? We come in here, it's fifth Sunday. The crowd always swells a little when it's fifth Sunday. There's a few people that'll be here when we're eating a meal that don't ever come another time. What you got your eye on? Some people come for the fellowship of their buddies here at the church. Some people come out of a sense of guilt because if I don't come, somebody will talk about me. We're in a worship hour.
Amen.
Our whole purpose for being here should be that I can meet with my God.
Yes, sir.
That I can receive from him and give to him. And that's the way it ought to be. Hebrews chapter 12 says, lay aside every weight and the sin that besets us, and look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Over in Philippians chapter 2, God says, after the great humiliation of chapter 2, this chapter 2 is one of the great chapters of the Bible, one of the great exposures of Jesus in the Bible. And he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took on him the form of a servant, was made in likeness as a man. But verse 9 says, because he went to Calvary, because he humbled himself, because he became nothing, Wherefore, God has highly exalted him, given him a name above every name, that everything in heaven, that everything on earth, and everything under the earth should bow their knee to him and call him Lord. You know, we throw that word around, Lord. But Lord, this word Lord here is not the capital O, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's capital L, little O, little R, little D. It's the Adonai. That is the master of all I am. He said, bow your knee. You'll bow it here or you'll bow it there. You'll bow it in heaven or you'll bow it in hell or you'll bow it here. What you going to be? He's Lord, whether you bow or don't bow, whether I bow or don't bow. But where are you looking this morning? Have you let him be Lord? Barzillai is here for the king. I would say we need to be here for the king.
Amen.
Now Paul said in chapter 2 of, over in chapter 1 of Philippians, for to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. To go be with Christ is gain. But to me to live is Christ. And he's going to say in chapter 3, I'm throwing away all of my Phariseeism. I'm throwing away all of the school of Gamaliel. I'm throwing away all the Sanhedrin. I'm throwing away my Pharisee of Pharisees. And I'm going to count it all dung that I may win Christ. He said in 1:21, I'm looking to Christ. 2:21 says, for all seek their own and not the things of Jesus Christ. We're in one of those two positions this morning. We're either living for him or we're living for ourselves. And somebody said, well, I'm distracted. Well, James talks about the world, the flesh, and the devil that distracts us in our service. But Paul said in Romans chapter 8, I know this is basic, but let's get it. Verse 7, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Not can't please him all the way, but it's not any of the way. In my flesh, or in my love of the world, or in my distraction of Satan, I can't please him. Here's a man that knew how to live, and because he knew how to live, he knew how to give. I'm not going to preach the message on grace giving. I have preached it here. But see, you can't even give until God's done something in your heart. You can't give the way God wants you to give until God works in your heart. Let me turn over here. Here's our basis for faith promise giving is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. Take a look at this. Of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. If there's a verse that is backwards to itself. That's that verse. Everything's against them, but they came out on top. Everything was trouble, but they are happy. Everything is driving them to poverty, but they can give. He said, "For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power," that is sacrificial giving, "they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Here's what he said. They could not give to us until they had given themselves to the Lord. You can't give to God until you give yourself to God. You can't do God's mission work until God has your heart. We talk about giving and faith promise giving. It's grace giving or it's no giving at all. The whole of chapter 9, he deals with this thing of, verse 7, "Therefore, as you abound in everything by faith, utterance, knowledge, and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also." He's just given the great list of spiritual gifts, and he just named a few of them. But he said, you can't do any of that successfully until you give your heart to the Lord, and that grace of God is showered on your heart. Look at down chapter 9, verse number 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly." You can live that way if you want to. And I've lived a lot of my life that way. I know what it is to pinch pennies and squeeze that old George till he hollers. I know what that is. "But he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully." He says in verse 5, "Make up beforehand your bounty." That is a bountiful gift. "Whereof you had notice before, that the same might be as a matter of bounty and not covetousness." Not what you "I'll give it because I'm going to get something back from God." No, no. I either give it freely by the grace of God or it's no gift at all. That's what he's going to say. He says it over and over. So here's a man. When David is on the run and the whole kingdom is against him, in chapter 17, that brings down, did you get that list? I mean, there's beans and lentils and sheep and honey, and you just keep on naming everything you can think of that those Jews ate, it's on that list. And besides that, the beds and the coverings and all the rest of it to meet the need of the king. And this Gileadite gave it. I don't know if Barzillai was a rich man or a poor man. The Bible just says he was a great man. Wouldn't you like for somebody to say that about you? A great man. He knew how to give.
Yes, sir.
Because he knew how to live.
That's good.
If you could get your living right to giving, hey, I've said this before and I've said it here before. When God got this man, he got this suit I wear.
That's right.
He got those pants I wear. He got that billfold in my pants. It's all his.
Amen.
And that rat hole back there in the back where I've got my hunting money, my gun money, all that's all his.
That's it.
Every bit belongs to him.
That's right.
He's the one that gave it and it's his. And I can't hold back anything that he gives me. You can try to hold it, and he can take a job away, or he can do a dozen other things. I got a letter the other day about a man we know who's just retired and just entered into his retirement. And his wife said, pray for him. He's got cirrhosis of the liver. He's not a drinker, but there's no cure for cirrhosis. And in his first year of retirement, he just bought his motorhome. And in his first year of retirement, they've diagnosed him with an incurable disease, and probably he's got 4 or 5 years. Had a lady in my church had that. And it's not a pleasant thing. Brother C.R. could tell you a little about it. It's a tough disease. So we don't know. But he knows.
Yes, right.
What I read here in chapter 19. Here's a man that could give. I mean, he could give like few men. Probably he's singular in his gifts in that kingdom that right there. He was one of the few in giving. But he just couldn't turn loose and go. He could give, but he couldn't go. Now, we've preached all week on going. And turning loose and yielding. And there's some people right here in this congregation that say, man, I wish I could go. But there's some things, there's just some things I can't overcome and I can't go. Well, I think we can learn some lessons from Barzillai, the man who could give but he couldn't go. And I want to look at that with you. First of all, let's look at his excuses. Verse number 32. Now, verse 31, he had the invitation from the king. Brother Bruce was talking about mission trips in the Sunday school class this morning. We talked about them this week. I remember taking a young preacher to Mexico with me. I was preaching over in the main church, and there was one of the mission churches, and they invited that young preacher. They invited him over for Wednesday night. It was up on the mountain. Anybody ever been to Monterey? You know what it's built. It's built on those mountains. It sits right on the top of the mountains. And up on the north side of Monterey, that the houses just go up the side of the mountain. People have moved in there from all over Mexico. And those Mexican people have a way of, they can make a place. And they've made a place up the side of that mountain. And that church they dug out, they hand dug out of the side of the mountain. One side of the church is fall off and goes almost straight down. And the other side, they've got a rock wall about 10 foot tall. And they dug all that out by hand so they could build that church. And they've got the building built. And that night, the missionary took him up on top, on the second floor, and they looked out over the city of Monterey. It's a sight. 3 million or so people around that. Lights and people. I still remember old Robert coming in that night. And he said, Brother Wayne, we went up on top. And he teared up and those tears started. He said, and I looked out over that city. And God's called me to Mexico, Brother Wayne. He never went. God called. But he didn't go. He married a wife. And when he went home and told her, "I'm going to Mexico," she said, "No, you're not. I'm not going." He couldn't go. I mean, that's just reality. It happens all the time. I'll never forget the excitement on his face, the tears rolling down his cheeks. He had seen the vision. He had the vision of missions. And he had a heart, but he didn't have the means. He couldn't make it. Brother Diaz, brother, well, I can't say the name right. I know his name. It's back there somewhere. You guys ought to be thankful for the wife you have.
Amen.
Preacher, you ought to be thankful for the wife you have. Missionary, you ought to be, Christian. You ought to be thankful for a woman who'll stand beside you and even prop you up sometime when you don't want to go. Be thankful. It's part of it. Well, he couldn't go. He said, "I'm too old." Let me read you a verse. Preacher in Albuquerque, New Mexico, sent me this verse when I announced my call to evangelism and left the pastorate. I was 66 when that happened. Verse 17 of chapter 71 of Psalm says, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto I have declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength to this generation and thy power to every one that is to come." And so for 15 years, God's 14 going on 15 years, God has drilled that in my heart. I've had a lot of people tell me I was too old. But I just keep praying. Hey, look at it. It's God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. When He gets through, I want to go as far as I can go, Brother Bruce. I don't imagine I'll make the mark, but I remember about 6 months ago when we showed a video here, and Brother Milton Martin, on his deathbed, preached that message to us to get up and get that gospel out. I'd like to go that far. I'd like to go as far as God, just as far, Brother Allen, as He'll let me go. I want to hang out over the edge and tell it again. He said, "I've gone as far as I can go." Some of you here, you may have sickness, you may have age, you may have something that keeps you from going. Doesn't keep you from giving. Keeps you from going. So what I want to say is, go as far as you can. You say, "Well, I'm just a kid. I'm not ready yet." Go as far as you can go, and God will take you further.
Amen.
He said, "I'm too old." And then he said, in the latter part of that verse, In verse number 34, he says, let's see, where am I at? 34, my age is wrong. Barzilla said, how long have I got to live? And then he says in verse 35, I can't discern. I can't see. I can't understand. I can't hear. And then it kind of says, I'm not concerned. And I've already preached this week on a vision for lost souls. Jesus had it. Matthew chapter 6, verse, when he saw that multitude and saw them as sheep having no shepherd. Over in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, he's getting ready to go down to Calvary. And he looks out over that city and weeps over the city. I've got that verse in red in my Bible. That same people were going to say, crucify him. But he wept over them. He says it over in chapter 23 of Matthew. He says this to the nation of Israel. Brother Gary and I were talking about the Jews just a while ago, thinking about this verse. Chapter 12 of Revelation said they're coming back on a jet plane. But listen to this verse, chapter 23. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killed the prophets and stonest them which were sent unto thee, how oft would I? Let me just ask you, church, how many times has he probed your heart and said, don't you want to go? Or probed your heart and said, you can give just a little more? How oft would I have used you, church? How oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered chickens under her wings, but ye would not? I would, but you wouldn't. Isn't that the problem? I would, but you won't. That's what he's saying. That's the problem. Hey, Barzillai, you can go with me. Barzillai said, I'm worried about, I got other plans. And I can't go. I'd say, if he says to us, I'm interested in you. I'd like to use you. I'd like to make something out of you. The greatest day of your life will be when you say, yes, I will, Lord. Amen. I mean, you might say, well, I've got an education. Hey, he's got an education that'll exceed anything you'll ever learn. Amen. I've got a career. He's got a career. Hey, think about it. Think about it at the judgment seat of Christ when they line us up. And here's Peter and Paul and John. And all of a sudden there, you are standing right beside them. Wearing the crown just like they wear a crown. Honoring the Lord just like they honor the Lord. Throwing that crown when they throw their crown. I wouldn't want to miss that if I was you. He said, I would, but you wouldn't. I wanted, but you didn't. I'm calling and you're saying no. Then he says, verse 38 says, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you would not, now ye shall not. And as a nation, that nation cannot. until God says okay. When he says okay, they're restored and there is a future for that nation. I'm not saying Jews can't be saved. They can be as individuals. But that nation is set apart. They rejected and crucified the Savior who wanted to gather them to himself. My friend, you can't lose your salvation, but you can sure lose the joy of your salvation by saying no when God says yes. So, he was too old, too unconcerned. But look down verse 35, that last part, he says in that C part, I can't even hear the singing men and singing women. Wherefore should you take thy servant to be yet a burden unto the Lord my King? What he said was, I'm too weak. I can show you a lady back there way past retirement age, right now hobbling around on one leg, and she's worked all day every day this week, and now she's back there again today preparing for you. So that God can get glory through her life.
Amen.
You're not too weak. God's got something you can do. I've got some examples. I'm not going to tell the story on that, Bob, but if you want it, I'll give it after a while. By the way, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 says God chooses the weak. You see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men, mighty noble, mighty wise men after the wisdom of this world, or the mighty men. But God has chosen the weak things of this world and the things that are small. To bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. He could use a little fellow. He can use ignorant people. I'm preaching today. So, you understand it? And he perfects that weakness in us. He said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And the weaker you become, the stronger he becomes as you let him use you. So I got to go on. Weakness. Then he says in verse number 36, thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. He said the distance is too far. I'll go part of the way with you. There's somebody sitting here right here in this audience today that said, Lord, I'll serve you a little bit. I'll give you a little time. I'll be a Sunday school teacher, but I won't be a preacher. I'll be a part-time Christian, but there's part of my life that still belongs to me and I want to use it for me. You know, God doesn't call part-timers. It's all in. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice unto me, which is your reasonable service. He says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's pretty reasonable to man, isn't it? He bought us. And if you own something, you use it, don't you? He owns us. And he'd like to use us. But the only way we can be used is full-time surrender. Then he says in 37, let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again that I may die in my own. He said, too late. Too late, Lord. I've already got plans made. My future's not too bright. But I'm just living to die. That's what happens in those nursing homes, isn't it, Brother Allen? Somebody comes in, they know, they live every day waiting for the next day. Hope, stand at the window and look for somebody to come and see you. Just living one more day and wondering how long I can put up with this before I have to go. Somebody said I'd rather rust out, burn out than rust out. And God would use you if you'd let him use you. God'll take you further than you think you can go. And God'll keep you going longer. My whole family says, when you gonna quit, Dad? I'm not quitting. I mean, he may quit, and then I'll quit. But till he quits, I'm not quitting. I mean, I can't hear you very good, but I can still see you. I'll use whatever I got. Old Billy Sunday said that I'm going to fight the devil as long as I got a fist. And when I run out of fist, I'll kick him. When I run out of foot to kick him with, I'll bite on him. When I run out of teeth, I'll gum him to death. Don't you want to do something for the Lord?
Amen.
Don't you want God to use you? Don't you want to be the vessel of honor that God pours through,
amen,
that others may be able to be saved?
Amen.
Don't you want to be a part of what's going on in Africa and Indonesia, Thailand, around this world? It's amazing to me that rednecks like us can be involved.
Amen.
In all of, look at the map, and Oklahoma too.
Amen.
Right. There's a product of Oklahoma missionaries right there. Look at the last part of 37. He said, but behold thy servant, Chimham, let him go over. What he said was, too bad, King, you made the wrong choice. God didn't make a wrong choice. If he's calling you, he's got something for you. And only you know if he's calling you. But if he saved you, I promise you he's calling you. He wants to use you. If you're saved, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. But if you are saved, he wants to use you. You're no longer your own. So he said, take Chimham. And verse 38 says, Chimham shall go. Chimham's going to go with me. And I'll do to him that which seemed good unto thee. I'm going to give him your crown. I'm going to give him your reward. I'm going to give him all the honor that I could have given you. But you quit on me. And Chimham's going to go with me. And I'll take him. Brother Bob, I believe we ought to keep on going even when we're past retirement age, don't you? I got surprised this morning to see CR come hobbling out of the chapel,
amen,
holding up two fingers, and I was amazed that he was able to be here. Don't count these old dogs down.
Amen.
They got something in them. Some of the young you young folks could use. Right? Right, brother? Look at this. And all the people went over Jordan when the king was come over the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. Wonder how many days that kiss lasted. Wonder how many days it was before he was saying, I wish I could have went on with him. Wish I'd have just went on. If you don't go as far as you go, you can go. If you don't do all that you can do, if you don't give all that you can give, you're going to regret it in this life.
Yeah.
You'll wind up sitting in a rocking chair somewhere someday saying, man, I wish I'd have went there. When he called me back there, Metropolitan Baptist Church, those years ago, I wish I'd have answered. I know in my heart, I'm not going to tell you his last name, but I know in my heart today, Robert is miserable. He let his wife talk him out of what God wanted to do. And I've saw him go down ever since. It breaks my heart every time I get around him. When I remember that fresh joy that was in his soul as he looked out over those people. I don't have any doubt that God's got 100 he could put there instead of Robert.
Yeah.
But he wanted to use Robert right there. If you don't go, you'll regret it. But you've given away your crown for a memory of a great day we had here in this meeting. Just a kiss. You traded your crown for a kiss. You wash it off tomorrow and you don't remember it. And you'll wonder why God doesn't use me anymore. How come God doesn't speak to me anymore? Why can't I have that joy of the Lord anymore? It'll never happen until you confess it and humble yourself and get back in his will. That's who he uses. That's who he wants. He said, I'll do it your way if you want to. But Jim Ham's going with me. And we're going down to the battle. We're going down to the victory. We're going down there to the banquet table, and him and old Mephibosheth will have their feet under my table. He'll be taking your place. Young people, are y'all ready to step up and go with him? I wrote down some stuff this morning back here in the study. Here's what my invitation is. Surrender to give and to go as much as God will let you do it. Just surrender for that. I don't know how far that is. It may not be missions. It may be right here in this church. I don't know where it's at. But surrender to go as far as you can go and give as much as you can give and do all that God expects of you. And if he doesn't let you go, then help these others go.
Amen.
Surrender up. Get that bountiful gift. Give of yourself. That's what they said. First, give yourself. I'd be interested to talk to Barzillai when I get to heaven and see how the rest of it went after he let David go. Wouldn't you? I mean, that'd be a good conversation. I'd like to call back some days in my own life when he was saying go, and I said, no, send somebody else. I wish I'd never said that, Brother Allen. I wish at the first time he had said go, I wish I'd have went. See, your candle's just so big. And if you use up some of the front half of it, that means you got less on the last half of it. My candle's getting short. But if I could call back those years that I said no, put it over here. Don't say no to God. There's several reasons. One, you're gonna waste the day as you say no. Second, you may never get another invitation. He may say what David said to Barzillai. He may say, as you want it, that's the way it'll be. I've got a Chimham over there. I'll get him. And you go on back down there and die. Maybe that way. Don't. Listen, if he's dealing with your heart, and I don't, hey, God's been here all week.
Matt.
I don't have any doubt there's hearts that are been dealt with this week. We sat here and twiddled our thumbs, try to look innocent as if we hadn't been touched. If God's dealing with you, my advice to you is as fast as you can get to that altar, as fast as you can get it before God, you give him everything you've got. And don't go back on God. Now we're going to fill out the cards in a little bit and it'll be a sacrificial gift. But it won't substitute for giving yourself. Let's stand. Father, I pray you've had your way here this morning. Lord, I pray that this message would register on our hearts. And I pray, God, I pray it's been your message. I pray it's been preached your way. And I pray, God, thank you for Barzillai. Thank you for a man that would go. Would give. But Lord, I pray that you'd be with each of us, that we'd see the need of surrendering our own hearts and lives to you. Lord, no marriage will be right until our lives are right. No job will be right until our lives are right. Our career can't be right until our heart is right. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you'd speak to us in our heart and that we'd yield our hearts to you. Please have your way right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What number, brother?
Page 153.
Come on. God's speaking to you. You come. Just do what he's telling you to do.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh, to him I freely give.
Don't wait for somebody else. Come.
Love and trust him in his presence. Faithfully live. I surrender all. I surrender all.
Oh.
your stomachs might be growling, but that's okay. We're going to feed you good in a little bit. I'm going to ask the young men that are ready to hand out our faith promise cards if they would do that right now. You don't need the plates yet, just the cards. And folks, all of our church members, of course, take one of these cards. We'll talk about that a little bit. As you get that card, you'll see it looks a little different than it has in years gone by. And we thought this might work good. As you see on your card, of course, let me back up and say this. Faith promise is something that God has used in an amazing way. I've been saved 46 years. The church we were members of when we first got saved practiced faith, promise, missions, giving. And the first church I pastored, God blessed in that church. And the first church I pastored, I had the privilege of introducing faith, promise, giving there. And saw in a matter of, 7, 8, 9 years, the Lord multiply many times over. Five, six times over in that church, their ability to impact the world through missions. And so I believe with all my heart in faith, promise, giving. And you say, well, just what are you talking about here, preacher? Well, hopefully you already understand that as a Christian, you ought to tithe. And I know I have folks that get cross-eyed with me when I explain this to them. But do you understand the tithe belongs to God?
Amen.
It belongs to Him. In reality, whether you understand this or not, just pray about it. I think the Lord will show it to you. You don't start giving till you give over a tithe. If the tithe belongs to Him, then I'm not giving Him anything. I'm not doing anything but giving Him what belongs to Him. And so then faith promise allows us to take that step into what real grace giving is. Giving by grace. Can we ever give back any measure of what God has given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ? And we finance our missions program here by faith. We trust God to supply it. Supply it through us as we trust Him. You say, well, how should I figure this out? You can't figure it out. You just got to pray. It's not something you can figure out. Because if I sat down and did all the accounting and so forth, what I ought to be able to give to missions, I wouldn't be given anywhere near what I'd give to missions. Brother Hudson mentioned a few moments. Missions giving is sacrificial giving. What does that mean, to sacrifice? It means to give over and above what you think you're able, as beyond their powers, as the Corinthians learned. God will give through you what you never thought you were able to give. And as I tell you every year, I think I'm going into missions conference. I think Lord, I've been increasing that giving to missions all these years, and I don't know. I think I'm going to sit pat this year. I get to Sunday and I get to fussing with. I get out of the bed thinking about it. I come to the church thinking about it, and all right, Lord, I know I can do a little more than I did last year. Been here 10 years. I'm thinking, every year. And as you look at that card, you notice there's no place on that card anywhere for a name. No one is ever going to come to you and say, you're not giving what you pledged, what you promised. No, we don't do that. Because it's something that we covenant with the Lord about. He knows where you live. He can take care of that too. As you look at the card, you see there's a dollar sign, an amount, and there's a weekly box, a monthly box, and an annual box. And we put all three of those there because sometimes it's easier for you to think about what you'd be able to give weekly. And for some of us, it might be a monthly thing. And then there might be, you know what you're going to give this year. This is what your goal is, what God's laid on your heart. And that's what you're going to trust the Lord to give through you. Now there's an upper part and a lower part, as you notice. That upper part, it's perforated. You take that card and do this number with it a few times, but put that amount in both the bottom and the top. And as I've done that with my card, you can tear that part off, and our young guys are going to come by and collect these. That top part, Faith Promise 2020, now you can take that home. You know, if your ice box is like ice box, refrigerator, been a while since you put ice in the ice box, can't get ice out of the ice box now. You got magnets on that thing. Well, you can put that right there on your refrigerator just to keep track of, remind you. Pray over, indeed pray over. And so you go ahead and take care of that. And we're going to ask the Lord's blessing on Metropolitan Baptist Church's Faith Promise Giving. Who's got the plates? They're standing back there like they know what they're going to do. We haven't taken up a physical offering in this church since March. I thought today's the day to do it. Starting today, starting next Sunday, we're going to take up physical offerings again. Daniel keeps talking about those plates in the back. Well, they're going to be in your hand. Please, guys, come on down here. We're going to pray over this first, guys. You're fine. Father, we bow before you. We're asking you, Lord, you, the King of Glory, that Almighty, Eternal God. Please, Lord, I pray you'd help us to see beyond ourselves. Help us to see. Help us to have that vision of the harvest that we've been talking about all week. Praying, Father, that you would instill in us that heart for the harvest. That indeed, Father, it's that we have so much. We're so blessed. And there's so many in this world that are in the darkness. And they need that glorious light of the gospel. They need the Diaz's to get to Liberia and the Weinsbergs to get the Dominican Republic. And of course, our missionaries on those fields that you've given to them and so many, many others. Oh God, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to enlarge our vision. In faith, Father, that we would trust you to do through us as you've never done before. That indeed, there would be those laborers sent to those fields, those harvest fields, to the uttermost parts of this earth planet. And Lord, we will give you the glory and the honor and the praise for all and everything that you will do in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Anthony. love that song. Amen. Amen. Been good. Thank you, Brother Hudson, for being faithful this week. Brother Bruce, thank you so much. And you missionaries are so privileged, and I'm so privileged indeed. Amen. Well, guess what we're going to do now? We're going to eat. Thank you for Amen. Well, I walked through that kitchen a little while ago before I came down here to the auditorium, and sure did smell good. And you said, well, preacher, I've got this to do or that to do, but I doubt if there's a person in this room that's not going to eat sometime, somewhere today. And you might as well just eat. There's all that food back there. You might as well just stick around and eat. And I'm going to say this. The Lord put a message on my heart the other night. I trust it's from Him for us. Please stick around, too, for that message this afternoon. We'll look to Him to speak to us once again as we would this afternoon be closing our conference. Brother John, you know the story. You know the routine. Brother John's our designated prayer over lunch, and then he leads us in our chorus, and then we make our break through that door. Amen.
Let's stand, please. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing our chorus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings and Your love for us. Thank You for Brother Wayne and the messages that he's preached this week, all the missionaries that have been able to attend. And Lord, we just pray that You'll bless their ministries and bless their time of deputation. Just have Your perfect will in their lives. Bless the food and the time of fellowship that we'll have here momentarily. And just have Your will in the afternoon service as well. And we'll give You all the honor and glory and praise. We ask You this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our chorus, Thou Art Worthy.
Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy.